The first lesson is from Isaiah, chapter 51. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read responsively the verses of Psalm 138. Lower voices read the light print, higher voices read the bold print. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name, because of your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me. They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high and cares for the lowly, perceiving the mighty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will make
The second lesson is from Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of our Lord.
Usually on the first day of school, what do you wear?
The clothes.
I was going to think about that. In a couple few years,
I only ever get some fancy and they get forced to.
Yeah. And they don't take pictures the first day of school anymore, do they?
No.
When picture day comes, and maybe in a few years, halfway through the school year. Well, I remember when I was a kid, maybe a little older than you guys still, I wanted to wear my new shirt that I got this summer on the first day of school. Sometimes it had to do with my favorite video game or a movie. Do you have some video game apparel?
Yeah, some
Minecraft shirts, and there's a few little
Super Mario.
And Super Mario Brothers, that's the other one I was thinking of, Did you see the Super Mario Brothers movie this summer?
Yeah, we really bought it on some
Both get over that. All right, cool. Well, we don't have any of the girls with us this morning. Did you guys watch the Barbie movie?
No.
Do you watch the Barbie movie?
Yeah, I
watched
one of the dolls. It's kind of really hilarious, and I want to see it because everyone understand it.
That might be the case. Well, there's a scene in the movie where Ken ends up wearing a new shirt. Have you ever seen this? A little slogan written on it? It says, "I am Kenuff."
Yeah.
Get it? He's Ken. He is enough. That might be one of the jokes that you don't get. But there's a message in the gospel this morning that St. Paul was writing about and telling people about, and that Jesus tells us we are enough. It's okay if we wear the clothes that we slept in the morning before on the first day of school. You are enough. You might get made fun of. It's okay. They're wrong. You are enough. It's a good message, I think, to begin the school year with. You think? Yeah? Well, good. I hope if you need it, that sticks with you. Can you pray with me? Lord, on this morning, we are looking not too far in the future at school beginning. It can be a rough time, but we ask, God, that you continue to give confidence and assurance that we are loved, that we are enough. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Let's go back to church.
I might also pray that there isn't another COVID exposure for me this coming week. Simplify things just a bit. The following sermon is not yet rated. This preview of the Kingdom of Heaven has been approved for appropriate audiences in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Welcome to the Barbenheimer era. What a time to be alive. I had a rough idea that both the Barbie movie and the biopic about the father of the atomic bomb, Robert Oppenheimer, were movies that were in the works, but a week or two out from their premiere date was when I learned they were set to come out on the same Friday night. So the idea of doing the doubleheader of films with such contrast and subject material, but also the aesthetics of the black and white build-up to the age of the atom, juxtaposed with the plastic pink explosion, dark and light fare, had an intriguing appeal. I wish the drive-in could have had it as a double feature, but I know the way distribution rights work and all that. Yes, that's showbiz. So I've only been able to experience the more colorful half of the phenomenon at this point, and it was Liana and Holden who wanted to see it. Cameron stayed home, and he loves the periodic table. He's read this book, The Disappearing Spoon, time and time and time again. If I remember correctly, I think he's worn it out and gotten a new copy. So he was particularly fascinated on the chapter about building the atomic bomb and efforts by different countries in the lead-up. So he's kind of interested in the Oppenheimer movie, but at the same time, he knows it's scary. He's probably not ready for it, so good on him. I'm going to have to catch a matinee on my own one of these days. Or maybe not. I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious, as Michael Scott said. And a perceptive blogger pointed out yesterday, after a really fun game, that the Mariners are 25-8 in the Barbenheimer era. I've only seen the brighter and perkier of the two flicks, as I said, and the Mariners live and die by third baseman Gino Suarez's life motto, good vibes only. So I might just set the arms back a little bit on the doomsday clock for now. In the meantime, start writing my screenplay to submit for Barbie 2. Ken, Barbie's companion. I hope I'm not giving away too much of a spoiler here. Still sporting his I Am Kenuff Sherpa hoodie, has some setbacks, loses some of that confidence, and a chance encounter puts him in touch with the Venezuelan infielder, that cheerful guy from Seattle, to set him right again. I'll need to flesh it out a little bit more than that, I understand. Or maybe a version of this message with greater depth can be found in these two paragraphs from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, which is a version that's a little darker, a little more Oppenheimer-ish in its message, in its advice. Just give up. And that sounds counterintuitive, uninspiring, a little bit doomy, doesn't it? But it provides an epic twist. Give up your body, the whole of yourself, to this merciful and accepting God character. I can hear the echo of 1,000 editors yelling at Paul for writing in the passive and not the active voice. But I think it's appropriate here. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. In one scenario, as here, we are acted upon by the unforgiving world around us. And in the other, we are acted upon by God in his grace to then be able to think and act in a manner that is truly good. But in either case, we would be foolish to think that we can act entirely on our own. In that same vein, as he wrote, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. In Ken's terms, you might end up living a lie. And something is ridiculous enough to be called a mojo dojo casa house. But if we give up on striving on our own to reach artificial standards of achievement, life in plastic, it's not so fantastic. We might learn to live by the measure of faith God has assigned to you and to me. Not which we have cultivated and measured in faith unit points. I know that sounds ridiculous too, but if you think about it, I bet you can figure out ways we all do it. We don't call it that, but we do it. And if you and I give up on each trying to do it all, to be everything to everyone, and to keep tallying up our own points while nervously looking through a funhouse mirror kind of a lens at our neighbor's tally, we might learn, as Ken does in this first movie, I am Kenuff. Well, you are enough, and I am enough. We don't even need the K. Because together, if we recognize and appreciate each other's gifts, instead of measuring ourselves against one another, we have the gifts that we need as a church. Maybe not all the gifts that we want to do everything we want, but we have to believe that we have enough to be enough as a body in, of, and for Christ. Just give up. Be who we are and let God transform us into the best version of ourselves. Guys, we might be all right looking dudes. None of us are going to be Ryan Gosling. And ladies, If you think you can try to replace Margot Robbie for the sequel, God bless you. And I have a few names of counselors I can refer you to because I think that's beyond the scope of my training. For my part, I'll never be able to write a screenplay like Greta Gerwig so she can tackle the sequel. And church, this is never going to be St. Peter's Basilica. But who we are is enough. And God measures us no lesser than any of these. For while each are very attractive, none are Jesus of Nazareth, nor the Holy Spirit, Lady Wisdom, nor the heavenly throne room. Let's all just give up. We cannot be anything that we are not, but we are enough. K, not included. Grace is a registered mark of the kingdom of God. Individual souls may be saved separately.